Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Yes, hello, Australia. Welcome to the big Thursday edition of Kennedy Molloy. What a cracker we have. A high excitement here in the office. Eric Idle, one of the greats of our industry, the comedian industry, is on our show today. He's got a new book, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. Cannot wait.
I'm going to have to contain myself.
To a living legend that is Eric Idle. On his way in as we speak.
Absolutely.
No selfies.
But we might get him to sign one of our books if he can, because he's here on a book tour.
Cool.
Fabulous. Can't wait to see him. Scott Pape's also going to have a chat with us, because at this time of year in Christmas, everyone's going berserk. You're maxing out your credit cards.
It's a stressful time.
It's going to be great at Christmas and really shitty in January if you don't get it together.
And he's going to lift the lid on the do's and don'ts of Christmas, how not to get ahead of yourself, and how to deal with your bratty kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is...
the Arias were on last night. Did you watch? I thought it was a really good show last night.
I watched it at home on telly. There were many highlights. Well done to the industry.
Well known to Keith Urban too.
Well done. And we might play a bit of Casey Chambers.
I thought her speech was
up there with the all-time greats.
It was now.
Knickers.
Knickers. Oh, knickers. Don't you look at me like that.
Hey,
I am wearing some today.
Well, there's a change. A pleasure to you. You really have dusted.
I know, I really have
dusted. Now, listen, this cow has gone berserk.
Massive.
I was watching Fox News last night.
Oh, wow.
And knickers was on it.
I love that.
We're going to talk to a bloke who's got our cows.
Oh, yes, Kennedy and Molloy.
Kennedy and Molloy.
I believe Kennedy's doing well, Molloy not so good.
Mad. Apparently, it is mad.
Another subject matter that is a bit delicate.
Yeah, sure.
It's to do with touching things or not touching things, because germs are everywhere. And I've got some bad news about a certain takeaway food.
Oh, crikey. We'll get to that. The Trump Elvis comparisons keep on coming.
Great. This
mostly
is great.
From Trump.
Yeah.
We'll play you a bit of audio from where'd you find it, Joe?
Found it actually just on the interweb, really.
Interweb?
Yeah, yeah. It's Jimmy Fallon. Yeah.
Is the bit of information I was looking for. We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets. We'll get to the bottom of all of this on a very big show.
Busy day.
You look good. Where have you been?
Well, I was a little bit late into the office because I've been at my 12-year-old school, my twin school, one of their final assemblies, because we have a competition winner in the family. We don't win many awards in our household.
I think that's going a bit. You've got 20 Logies, five Arias.
Oh, no, we don't count. You don't count those.
Oh, you don't count your
No,
parents.
I mean like proper awards for kids and that. Well, we're not that competitive.
What do your kids got? What have they racked up so far?
Oh, a few here and there, but, you know, it's just...
What's your point? What are you getting?
My point is our son won the lip-syncing competition at school. Yes.
Oh, lip-sync.
Man. Lip-sync.
Congratulations.
Fantastic.
Very
I wish
proud.
I'd had that when I was a
Me
kid.
Too.
That would have been
cool
great.
Thing to
would have been fun. What was he lip-syncing? What was the act?
It wasn't something I would think of, but it was too Under the Sea from the musical.
I'd like to be
that's the Beatles one. Ringo Starr sing
sea.
That. Yeah, that's the.
Well, from Disney
the
show, isn't
Disney,
it?
Disney, yeah.
Whatever.
Little
Mermaid?
Little Mermaid, yeah. Under the Sea, Under the Sea.
Oh, I think we've established the song Under the Sea from Little Mermaid.
So Bailey
and Ackland. How'd he go? Why'd he come up with that?
Well,
why was that?
I don't know. Bailey and Ackland, his mate, got together and they performed. And he told me last night that he'd won. And he said, Mum, I said, when'd you rehearse all this? How'd you do it? He goes, oh, okay. We've been keeping under wraps. We've been rehearsing. But before we performed it, we went to some really tough judges to see if it was any good. I said, who's that? He goes, the girls.
Oh.
The girls gave it the thumbs up. And
did he
said,
beat
yes.
girl? The girls
he beat the girls. It's very unusual. And the two boys won. Anyway, so I said, I'm doing an assembly tomorrow, Mum. So I'll try and get there, mate. Anyway, I rushed there, crossing my fingers, please be on first, please be on first. And they go, okay, now we have to hand out the awards for the Premier Literary Awards to all the children the school have won. And amazing, we had 83 winners this year.
Oh, my God.
Boo, it's just literature.
Oh, no.
It's just literature.
Johnny Brooks.
Bring on the
lip-syncers. Who cares?
That's
right. Oh, 83. And then the 100 Club book. Club. So some kids read 100 books. Whoopee-doo. Why don't you just be on a computer like everyone else and play games? Anyway, he was terrific. I saw it.
And you got an award? You got a trophy?
Well, I think he just gets the nod from
Can I say something?
What?
Can I have him?
Can you have him?
Well, can I take him under my wing? I've got a plan.
What's that?
Little Big Shots. I will have that kid.
Yeah, actually.
Knee deep.
He needs to be Tiger Uncle.
Do you stage mum him? Were you stage mumming?
No, I didn't even know he was doing
it. Were
you
in the wings? No. At the audience?
He knows me too well. No. I was taking a video. Hey, you're celebrating, aren't you?
Look, I don't like to go on about it, Jane.
Sorry, you have been all afternoon.
It's just a little thing. I'm now officially an Instagram influencer.
Hang on.
An influencer.
I don't think so. Do you know what an Instagram influencer is?
50,000 followers.
50,000?
What?
Sorry.
That puts me in a big league. How many have you got?
Well, I've got about 30.
And whoa. Dave?
1,800.
See, that's just sad. You should get off it.
I'm not sad.
You should just get off it.
Dangerous Dave Williams, if you want to follow me on
Instagram. You can ring all those followers.
Probably could.
Hi, I'm posting something.
Can you please get your friends to follow
me? Big Boy 66, if you'd like to be part of the magic.
Yeah.
Big Boy 66.
I don't think you don't fit into it.
Why?
Because you've got to be
Because there's a thing. They're called influencers.
Yeah.
They have special functions where you have to be an influencer to go.
All right. Ariana Grande's got 132 million.
Yeah. See you there, Ariana. I bet you she follows me.
50K?
Yeah,
mate, you got a fair way to go.
Who else?
Taylor Swift, 112.
Jeez.
She can follow me.
Yep.
Ronaldo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
145 million. He's kind of on the top.
He's right up there. Well, that makes sense.
Right on the top.
Yeah. I am an influencer.
All right, if you want to be an influencer, you're an influencer.
It's a rare club.
What sort of pictures
you've got to
do
ads now, though. You'll have to use products all the time.
I don't think I've been posting as Brick Lane.
Okay.
Beer. Yeah, you might have to move on from there.
All right, yeah, I might release my own brand of underwear or something like that. We'll get to the bottom of that.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Malloy.
One of the biggest stories of the year for me is knickers. Knickers.
Well, I don't know why I laugh when I hear that because it's a funny word.
Well, it's
the
giant cow.
Yeah.
It's a massive cow. I don't know where it's been hiding. I don't know where it's come from. It's come out of the blue. It is massive.
WA, isn't it? It's just appeared, but it looks like an optical illusion. Yeah.
And it's taken the nation by storm, and not just the nation, the world. I'm sitting at home, I'm flipping around last night, I'm on Fox News in America, when this story bobs up.
A cow down under has risen to international stardom.
This steer is named Knickers, kind of a big guy, weighs more than 3,000 pounds, more than 6 feet tall, like 6'4", we're told, actually too big to be slaughtered. That is crazy. At first we said, is that some sort of optical illusion or something, you know?
Yeah.
But no, it's real.
That's really big cow.
Real big cow.
Nothing to say.
That's your one-stop shop for a barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going down the road to get some meat. Yeah. You've come back. You could feed.
I'm worried it's not real. Do you think it's real?
It is.
Okay.
We reckon?
I don't know. It's so much bigger than the other cows.
You're like, so
it's
cynical.
6'4" cow?
It's like eight guys in a cow costume.
I don't know. But look, we might be able to find out from our next caller,
who's
a friend
that?
Of the show.
Oh, yes.
This is John Fairley. Hello, John.
Hello, Jane. How are you?
How are you going? We spoke to you first with your amazing Adopt a Cow campaign in May, which is to help get some of your cows through because of the drought.
John, of course, is in Picton, New South Wales.
That's right.
80 kilometres southwest of Sydney, having terrible trouble with the rain. Has that changed at all?
Any good news?
Yeah, we got 80 mil yesterday.
Oh, man.
Even put a bit of water in the creeks. It was unbelievably
excellent.
Good.
Oh, that's happy news.
That's great. Oh, it was really good.
Your campaign, which was an absolute beauty, was to buy a cow, basically. Mm. You could name a cow, and that way it would help pay for produce and feed and all the rest. And we bought a couple of cows. We bought Kennedy and Molloy. Can you, John, talk us through how are they going? Are they eating up? Is Jane's bossing all the other all the other cows around? What's happening?
There is a pecking order from number 1 to 100.
Mm.
So the boss cow just gets anything she wants, all the feed, all the water she wants. But I can't say that's Jane's cow.
Oh,
well,
where's
Kennedy and Molloy in the pecking order?
You can never really.
Hang on a second.
I'm looking at a picture of Kennedy and Molloy, John, and Kennedy looks sort of a bit glowing and healthy. And
Kennedy
sprightly.
Looks photoshopped as per usual.
Hang on. That's not true. Molloy looks a bit meek and a bit nervous, and possibly could be put down soon.
he's got a bit of mad cow, boy. What's happening, John? What are you doing?
These are dairy cows, aren't they?
Doing really well.
That's great.
A little bit of grass and we're still feeding hay.
Oh,
and
isn't that good?
You guys have helped buy for the year. Hey. And they're just looking really good, actually.
John, have you heard about this giant cow, Nickers?
Yeah, I saw pictures of it.
Now, what's your call?
What's going on, mate?
I'm just concerned it's not for real. Is it possible?
I haven't seen a live video of it, actually, so you could be right there, Joe.
Mm.
There is a video.
You've seen video, Dave.
Somebody's been feeding it for 7 years. Unbelievable.
Oh, my
I don't know where it is, but there's certainly been no drought around that part of that neck of the woods. All right, what's the prognosis over summer? You've got it all sorted. What's happening? Have you got enough rain? Where are you?
We're just hoping for some more rain. If we can get another 80 mil in a week or 10 days' time, 2 weeks, we'd be laughing.
And that'll get you through summer?
Yeah, we just don't know. They forecast stuff, you wouldn't have a clue.
We wish you all the best.
Do you think you should give Malloy his own paddock for a while? like a free ranger?
The word good paddock and Mick Malloy go hand in hand.
And you're off on holidays.
Ask the questions. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, John.
Thank you, John. We hope to be.
A bit over us, eh?
You're
already one back across the
bar. No, we better come up and see everyone in
Picton. Can you come up to your property and see the cows, or what's happening?
Yeah, you bet. If you're on the road, drop in.
We'll plan to do a road trip, and we'll swing by and come and say good day.
Yeah.
That's going to be great.
Meet the cows and,
That'll be a lot of fun. Good. I might even camp in one of your paddocks for a while.
Yeah.
Good on you, John. Thanks very much for talking to us.
Well done, John.
Give our best to Kennedy and Malloy.
Yes.
And thank you again for adopting a cow.
No problemo.
John Fairley there joining us.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, what have you...
Well, last night I was watching the Arias and I just want to say congratulations to Keith Urban. Really great job hosting. And he said apparently that he was feeding himself. Was really nervous.
Oh, yeah?
But did a great job. Nicole was there sitting in the front row watching. And all in all, I thought it was a ripping broadcast. So many Triple M friends of ours and people we know were there. We wish we had been there.
Well, we should have been there.
Would
have been good to
do. Would have been good if we were there.
From there.
Yeah. Well,
next time.
As a rock and roll station.
I don't know.
Someone hosting a national show. I believe about half a dozen people from the office went up.
Oh, the managers were there.
The managers was there.
It doesn't count if we're doing the drive show, Mick, national drive. Why would we be at the music awards? My daughter actually said, Mum, why aren't you at these awards? I went, hang on.
Because everyone here is asleep at the wheel.
Don't know.
I think is the basic answer to
don't know what happened. Anyway.
Or don't care. That's another.
There were some very worthy winners. One of the great ones was into the Hall of Fame.
Yes, indeed.
Which
Casey Chambers.
And what a speech!
Yeah,
that was my favourite.
But real and solid. In fact, if you didn't see it, we've got a bit.
They're fraught with danger. They're fraught with danger. These
because you don't want to sound worthy.
And everyone blows up. But she smashed it out of the park.
She did.
My mum has basically taught me over the years that being a bitch doesn't make you strong and being strong doesn't make you a bitch. To know the difference between those two things. You can be strong and kind at the same time. The best advice that my dad ever gave me was just don't be a dickhead. I know it doesn't sound very profound, but it actually has been the best advice to follow. Seriously, you don't need to be a dickhead to get ahead in this business. You really don't. But I don't think that I'm standing up here because I'm a strong woman. I don't think I'm standing up here in spite of being a strong woman either. I actually just think that I'm standing up here because I'm just myself, and I think that that's all that any of us ever really need to be. So...
Actually our family motto, don't be a dickhead.
I'm writing that down right now.
Which bit?
Don't be a dickhead.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Mental note to Mick.
Mm. Wow.
Too late for you, Dave.
Some of the awards that were won, I'm just going to go through a couple. Jimmy Barnes won Best Theatre Album, so that was great to see.
Well
Barnes.
Done,
and I'm starting also at some unusual ones. I want to give a shout out to my mate Justine Clarke because she won Best Children's Album, and that was awesome. She's a hard-working chick and keeps putting out these great albums.
A bit like Dentist Jane, isn't she?
She is a bit like Dentist Jane.
Did Dentist Jane ever win anything?
No, Dentist Jane hasn't, but the Wiggles win all the time.
Maybe you can collaborate with Justine Clarke.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, great idea.
We'd be up for that. We'd have to do a lot of research together.
Could I be like your Colonel Tom Parker?
Yes, you can join.
No, I don't want to join. I'm the manager. I'm Colonel Tom Parker.
Hang on, you're already taking us over. That's all right. I'll discuss it with Justine. Okay, Hilltop Hoods. That's another one we love too. Best independent release was Gurumul, who also was best male artist. But Amy Shark seemed to be.
Amy Shark, well done.
Mm. Take away the best. Oh, Vance Joy, best adult contemporary as well.
She's a very talented, this Amy Shark. Gosh, she writes her own songs. Her backstory is good. She used to work at the Knights, the Newcastle Knights, I think.
Well, she's also been strumming her guitar and songwriting for years and years and years. She hasn't popped up. She hasn't been like she hasn't had a Svengali like you're trying to be with me and Justine Clarke. She's actually...
Even Svengali would throw his hands up in the air at that one, I reckon. Too hard basket for even Svengali.
No, she's really, seriously unique individual and just a rocking chick. Everybody likes her and she lights up a room, so...
That well done great. To everybody.
Now, one of the things... Oh, sorry, I was going to end on. The show's
we should
awesome.
Talk about this before we get
No, the show's really awesome till it gets to the end.
Bob Geldof gets off.
Well, let's just have a listen to the enthusiasm. He has a crack at our Keith Urban.
Hands off,
just
Bob.
Have a listen to this.
Welcome back to the Arias.
Thanks, dude.
You hosted this.
Apparently I did, but...
memorable experience.
It was at a time when you don't remember these sort of things. Yeah. Come and go.
Like tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Well, judging by your performance, yes.
What are you in town for tonight? I haven't even played yet. It's a tough room. What are you in town for?
I was in town to do some stuff. I have a new record. I was playing to the record company. I'm going to South Africa tomorrow. You called me and begged me to help you out tonight.
You're not
used to this sort of shit, Keith.
It's nice for someone to finally call you and ask for help.
Yeah. It takes a change.
Oh, come on. Get off, Bob. That's
new
just...
album.
New well, album.
The first since I don't like Mondays.
Wow.
Yeah,
good luck with your
put your
stuff.
Back in the room. What's he off to South Africa for? Still milking that?
Well, that is South Africa.
Find some starving kids. Put another show on.
Anyway, congratulations, Keith.
I'm sure he was trying to be... You know sometimes people are trying to be funny. It just comes off rude. I'm sure that's what he was doing.
He did not think it through and he was...
I'm defending myself here.
Oh, you've been in that boat a lot of times.
Right. Okay. Congratulations to everyone.
Well done, all the winners.
I love the Australian music industry.
Love it too.
We're in your corner. Sorry we couldn't be there.
Yeah,
you bet. Next time, next year for the
Oh,
RAs.
Well, we'll see.
Fingers crossed.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
Donald Trump is the gift that keeps on giving. His current one is, he says when he was a younger man, he used to look like, well, shall I keep it a surprise?
No, let's have a listen to the
grab. Okay, let's have a listen.
We love Elvis. I shouldn't say this. You'll say I'm very conceited because I'm not. But other than the blonde hair, when I was growing up, they said I looked like Elvis. You see that? Did you believe it? I always considered that a great compliment. We love Elvis, don't we?
People are laughing compliment. Like he's a joke.
Yeah. It's a great compliment that you've given yourself.
Yeah.
No one else is saying it is. Okay, so that came out last night. Wow. Jimmy Fallon's jumped on this straight
fake
away.
News. That is fake news.
It is fake news. Jimmy Fallon has jumped on board and may I present to you Jimmy Fallon's version of Jailhouse Rock with Donald Trump.
All right.
The warden threw a party in the county jail. Everyone in my administration started to wail. Indictments headed down to the whole West Wing. You should have heard my lawyer, Michael Cohen, sing. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody with the White House job was dancing to the Jailhouse Rock. Robert Mueller said the Russians fixed my boats. Manafort was caught lying under oath. Rick Gates, Sam Patton, Michael Flynn. And don't forget George Papadopoulos. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody with the White House job was dancing to the Jailhouse Rock. Manafort spoke to Julian Assange. Elvis' hair was black and mine's orange. I'm all shook up, the walls are closing in. I'm a hunk of burning love for Vladdy Putin. Let's rock.
Everybody, let's rock. Everybody with the White House job was dancing to the jailhouse rock.
There it is.
Very fun.
That's what it's all about. Good fun.
Oh.
Can I suggest to you that that man could well win Clown of the Year, which will be unveiled tomorrow.
It's going to be tight.
Program.
Yes, it will.
In fact, you can, if you like, why don't you Instagram, what are we talking about, social medias, tweet us, whatever, and put in your early request for Clown of the Year. There's a few people who have presented themselves beautifully for this.
Outstanding members. So do that, and we're going to wrap that up tomorrow. We'll be our last show for the year.
Well, there'll be we're doing a whole week of shows afterwards.
Yes.
We'll be doing it from all parts of the country, possibly from my beach house.
But we're not going anywhere.
We're not going anywhere.
We're sort of wrapping things. It's a long haul home is what I'm trying to say.
What are you trying to say, Jade? Confusing me.
I'm confused myself. But anyway, all good. And coming up next.
I love this guy.
We've got Scott Pape.
Listen up. Get your pens and papers out.
Okay, I'm ready.
Take this down. This is everything you need to know about Christmas.
Yeah, he's the Barefoot Investor next.
Your new way to drive home.
Joining us now is the author of two best-selling books, that is The Barefoot Investor and The Barefoot Investor for Family, Scott Pape on Kennedy Malloy.
Papey.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hello.
Thanks
Hi,
for
Scotty.
Swinging by, mate. It's an important time of the year and can be stressful. If you don't get it right, there's a lot of time for people to go out and spend a lot of money.
Yes.
There's a lot of blinkers on. That's how I feel.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I just put the blinkers on, hold my breath and wait till end of January. Is that good? Is that good thing to do?
Well, as one strategy. I mean, so we've got the National Retailers Association are saying that we'll spend $16.4 billion over the Christmas period on presents.
Okay.
That's up 6% on last year.
Wow.
But the interesting thing that I found was that a survey by the Daily Tally found nearly a quarter of Australian parents admit to buying extravagant gifts to compensate for their lack of parenting.
Sorry for being an asshole.
Yeah. But here, have a PlayStation.
Here's a PlayStation. Sorry, Daddy didn't come home.
Is that right?
Okay.
Yeah. So what I do, I've got twin boys, I just buy them one and make them fight over it. No, it's survival
Scott,
of the fittest.
That's not good.
That's a law of the jungle. It is.
I find that every Christmas there is the gift, the coveted gift.
So
I'm pretty experienced and I'm very close with Santa. I have been for 17 years. Yeah. And funnily enough, Santa works solo in my area.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Yes, and I'm a bit over it.
So with five kids, the Santa's list would be quite extravagant, wouldn't it?
It would be, except very early on, I decided that, no, we don't have a list and Santa knows best. Because
it's a whole new version of Secret Santa, isn't it, really?
Well, sometimes demands are overwhelming. And when you think of how much, for example, a PlayStation costs, I mean, it's getting up to a grand for a present.
Pinch them like Dave. Dave deliberately the other day didn't give out a PlayStation.
Still
so there was one left over.
He's
just... That'll be under his Christmas tree this year.
Well, what's your understanding now of the cost of presents and gifts for kids?
Look, I think it's getting out of control for a lot of parents. I mean, obviously, we're seeing we've got record household debts. We've got a lot of people that are borrowing money at this time of the year, and then they get hit with school fees in January. It can be a really stressful
But kids
time.
Have always, what do you want for Christmas? A pony. This is not new, but we're saying we acquiesce. Here's my point. I think kids are treated... and I'm not speaking for everybody. I know there's different classes and associations, but a lot of people I know spend so much time buying presents throughout. You get gifts all the time now.
Yes.
Like when I was a boy, you got two presents a year.
Absolutely.
It was one on your birthday and one at Christmas.
Correct.
And you would absolutely, there would be no danger of getting anything special in any time other than that. So you used to spend months thinking about it and leading up to it. But
Lay-by? Well, remember the last time I laid-by. But Christmas gifts were the lay-by because... they weren't in your house. Yes. You could keep them at the store.
But I carry boxes of Lego in like slabs every second week now. Here's some more Lego for you.
So you've been Santa for 17 years.
Yes.
I've been Santa for 5 years now. So I can actually go El Primo on the wrapping and tight ass on the gift because they're five. They don't really understand.
Oh, right. I'm the opposite now. Nothing's wrapped in our house now.
Yeah, there
just
you go. That's
no
it.
Energy for that. Very interesting call about, you know, what presents people are buying for their kids.
Jane's Christmas tree was still up 3 months after Christmas with all the Christmas decorations. There was a big box. I'm not making it up.
Why not?
Three months afterwards, I said, you may as well just leave them out now and
I
hang
did
in
consider
there.
It.
Did you say you don't wrap the presents?
No. Oh. It's just too many. There's five kids, and just so they get one big present and four little ones and whatever. That's a lot of wrapping.
Can watch every episode of The Bachelor, but can't.
To help Santa, by the way. Shut up.
Except want
to
be a good present. Yes. I'd like to be an in-store Santa. I reckon that's come. That's around.
No, that's I don't
around
think that's a life skill that you have.
But I think I do. Drunk, portly, drunk.
Actually,
not to be trusted.
Come to think of it. Hey. What kind of gifts have you got recently yourself?
So my thing is that for a lot of families, what they really want to do is focus on not having raising brats. So in my book, Blatant Plug, which I think would be a good Christmas present.
Well, it definitely is.
By the way, congratulations on the new book. What have you just done, 225,000?
Yeah, we're just doing a new reprint now for Christmas, which is good. But again, one of the really worrying things for parents is raising brats. So again, I know this sounds a little prude, but if you can do things with food bank, you can get your kids interested in buying things for kids that may not have
a junior account,
but not for them, for other children. This is what we're talking about.
Yes. Giving. So the gift giving. Of giving and trying to explain to your kids.
I do like that, and I am going to do that this year.
Put it under the tree. Smith family does those sorts of things.
I think that's a great call.
It's just a way of actually showing your kids that it's not all about what's
it's dog eat dog out there. That's what I say to my kids. If you snooze, you lose. Get the first one in. Oh, take no prisoners.
Oh, my God. Yes. Well, I wonder how else are other people coping?
Yeah.
And the lead up to Christmas, and what do you do, and have you have to be inventive about Christmas presents, and what's the pressure? Yeah. Give us a call.
Or do you just give crappy gifts?
No.
1-333-53.
Scott Paper's with us. He is the Barefoot Investor. 1-333-53. Give us a ring. We'll take your calls right after this.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Scott Pape, the Barefoot Investor, in studio with us right now. And Kennedy Malloy.
Can I say, I do love Christmas. Yeah. I like getting into the Christmas spirit. It's a lovely time at home around the tree with the boys. And everyone's got their favourite Christmas carols.
Oh, you sing songs around the tree.
Have you got one stuff that you like?
Oh, yeah, a bit of Rudolph, Doesn't Go Astray. It's nice.
Silver Bells.
Silent Night, something like that.
Me and the boys sit around. We get our sweaters out, sit around the tree. We love to listen a little bit of this.
Hey, Santa Claus, where's me f***ing bike? I've unwrapped all this other junk and there's nothing that I like. I wrote your f***ing letter and I come to see you twice. You worn out geriatric fart, you forgot me f***ing bike.
That'll do. And we go caroling. We stand in front of people's houses. Isn't that sweet? That's the Christmas spirit.
That is getting into the Christmas spirit.
That is. We're talking about the extravagant Christmas spend that parents are doing in Australia this year in particular. It's up 6%. Is that correct?
Well, Christmas spending is up 6%, but nearly a quarter of Aussie parents admit to buying extravagant gifts to compensate.
And it's hard to start the year behind the eight ball.
Absolutely.
I just wonder whether children are happy though. Like they go, oh, that's all right. I got a really good gift. All right, you're excused for the rest of the year.
It's just a morning thing, isn't it? Afternoon, they've forgotten about it anyway.
They have.
Gift vouchers okay? What's the policy?
I think a gift voucher is going to be
a Santa
gift vouchers. Well, you know, that is a good present for kids though. Let me tell you, they do like them. But we've had some callers come through. Hello, Chris. How are you going?
G'day, Jane. I'm well.
Yeah. What do you give your kids for Christmas?
I always threaten them throughout the year that if you're bad, you'll get nothing but potatoes, and I always make sure there's at least one potato wrapped up every Christmas that they get.
That's a bit traumatic, isn't it? Didn't it used to be coal that if you know?
Yeah, that's where it came from. I thought that we can't tell them they can get coal anymore, so she always gets at least one potato.
I
wouldn't turn my nose up at a potato.
A nice potato in its jacket.
Would you consider a bucket of chips?
All right, well, that's one way to sort of frighten your children into behaving, I suppose.
Sure.
Hello, Graham. How are you going?
G'day. How are you?
Yeah, how are you coping? You're on the Central Coast?
Yeah.
Did you get hit by the storm?
Yeah.
You all right today?
Yeah, all good.
That's good. Now, what do you want to mention about Christmas?
Oh, I was just thinking for Mick, saying he wanted to, you know, become a Santa.
Yeah.
Maybe he could do an Aussie version of the movie Bad Santa.
Oh, there's an idea.
That is not so crazy.
You could be one of my elves.
Who, me?
Yeah, I'll be up for it.
I'm not Mrs. Claus, so don't look at me. I'm a sexy elf.
No,
or nothing.
Jane.
And I'm the love interest of the good-looking guy who you deliver presents to the house of, who's a single wealthy billionaire.
Just stop it now. You're on air and you're saying all that out loud. All right.
Thanks, Graham. Good idea.
Tanya.
Hi, how you going?
You've got something you'd like to say to Papey?
Yeah, since I was 18, I've been putting $50 a week away into a Christmas account.
Nice.
can't touch it until November, December.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, I use it all year, like for the whole year. It covers my Christmas food, all my presents for every member of my family, and I'm one of six kids.
Yeah, so you know that it's hard.
What does that mean? Yep. You do that every year?
That's the old Christmas club saver that the credit unions used to do, where you actually take that after pay. I'm actually going to be smart, squirrel some money away so that come December, I've actually got the money there so I can spend it on my family.
Who does that?
Well, sensible people like Tanya.
Sensible people.
Would you say $50 a month, was it?
$2 a week.
That's a lot to put aside, though, still, isn't
it? Well, it's an expensive time of the year.
Wow.
It is, and you cover all your costs, and this year...
It's two smashed avocados.
What's your score this year, Tanya? How much dough?
Nearly $3,000.
Oh, good on you.
And if I don't use it all, it just rolls over and I can't touch it again until December next year.
I'd like a bike. I'd like...
Well, you've got something coming your way from Kennedy Malloy,
you do.
Too,
you've got $100 worth of De Bortoli wines, Tanya. Oh, the delicious rosé. Merry Christmas from us.
Go on.
Thanks.
Hook into that.
Yeah.
Hello, Taryn.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, good. What's the story with you and Christmas and saving? It's hard, isn't it?
Well, you know, I do have a Christmas club, but that's for normally around for the bills around Christmas.
Yeah.
But my big thing is particularly this year with two kids going off to uni and one to high school, is I have to buy all the technology that goes with them.
We're about to hit that too, and it's computers and iPads and all that. And
Well. And I'm looking at probably $5,000 for the Christmas this year.
$5,000?
And that's because... Yeah, well, by the time you buy two computers and the device that's required for the high school as well, it doesn't take much to add up.
Yeah. That's right, Taryn. I was going to ask Scott, they've just had Black Friday, Black Monday, all these sales. Yeah, was that a good time to jump on?
You know, what is good about so they've got the Singles Day in China in November.
Yes.
And then they've got Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Yep. So the Aussie retailers would be so annoyed because what they've generally done is legged us all the way to Boxing Day. Anything that they haven't been able to sell, they go, it's discounted. But people can get online and get cheap bargains now.
They can. Thanks, Taryn, for the call. One more time.
My boys don't have any... games or computer games. How long can you stave that off for?
I reckon a week.
Coming into it. Yeah, I'll be coming into it soon.
You are. Yeah. That's all right. I imagine that you'll be well controlling of the whole situation.
Yeah, that's it.
Hello, John. How are you going?
Oh, I love you guys. You guys are awesome.
Good on you, well, John.
Give him a prize, Dave.
Sure. Slash tickets.
Have you been good this year or a naughty boy?
Oh, mate, I'm always a naughty boy.
All right, what have you done?
So, this was when I was young. So my dad, he loves a good stitch-up. And so I got downstairs in the morning. He goes, look, he woke me up as well. He goes, Santa's been. I went downstairs and he actually turned around and he wrapped up. There was only one present. I've gone, what the heck's this? Next thing you know, I opened it up and it was a toilet roll. And it had everything naughty that I did on it back here written on it.
Did you need therapy after that?
Did
you get a present? A real one?
Yeah, they gave me real presents, but like that didn't, you know, they wanted to teach me a lesson, but it didn't work.
No, it didn't work.
I got two rolls the next year.
Oh, there mate. You go. Thank you, John.
Just gave you a little Christmas present.
I did. You got tickets to go see Slash. John coming to Australia next year with Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators on tour. Ticketek.com.au. They'll be here in Australia January and February. You'll love Slash, mate. We love him.
Have you done all your Christmas shopping? Oh.
My Christmas shopping is done. My wife last year got me a keychain, so...
So you, when you got that, you ran out the front expecting to see a car?
Yeah, there was no car. It was just
what
a
did you get
chain.
Your wife, by the way?
Well, as in what I'm getting this year, I can't say.
But, last year?
Last year, I think I got her... Yeah,
you're swiveling on your chair and you look nervous.
Yeah, no, maybe a copy of the Barefoot Investor.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of which, what a great stocking stuffer that would be.
It certainly is.
At the time of the year, when you probably need some sound financial advice. The latest one, the Barefoot Investor for Families and the original.
Barefoot Investor, the only money guide you'll ever need.
I think that's the highest selling book of the last decade or
something like
that. It is the only guide, yes, I can vouch for that, you'll ever need. Great reading.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Coming Merry Christmas.
Eric Idle.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And we are very excited to announce that Eric Idle will be our special guest for the remainder of, well, a lot of our second hour. Can't
well,
wait.
Full alert.
So much to talk about. Yeah. We'll go the full comedy nerd, no doubt.
No
I'm
doubt.
Sure he's used to it.
Hope he's used to
Ask
it.
Ask him some questions he's answered a thousand times.
We don't even know where to start, but we'll see what happens.
How do you attack that? So we're so excited. He's just been an idol of ours for some time.
He has.
We'll start off, though. We'll take some calls and some tweets.
We will.
But you will start at the top, Jacob. By the way, Dave, did you just tell me you got 30 new
I think
followers?
I'm trending on Instagram right now.
Trending?
Thanks to you. Yeah, I think I am.
Because we were talking earlier because I am an Instagram...
Influencer.
Influencer. Thank you very much. Can I put that on a card or something?
I think so.
Yes, I'm still...
Does that get you to the front of a queue? When I book a restaurant, should I say, by the way...
I'm pretty
influencer.
Sure that you probably need about at least 150,000.
I've got 50,000 followers.
That's getting there.
What are you, Jane?
I don't know. Jane_L_Kennedy.
Mm. Well, that's what you got. None. It's too hard to find. Yeah. Put a colon in there. Bracket it. Yeah. Divide it by two.
Actually, I'm trying to get verified. Are you verified? Do you even know that what verified means? No, you don't. Never mind.
Is that the blue tick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Have I got the blue tick?
Nah.
Why not?
You probably should.
Yeah, you probably should.
So that there can't be fake Mick Malloys
tell me what to do.
Causing havoc.
I've got some other Mick Malloy accounts out there. I hope they're not clocking over.
Maybe they are. There's probably a few fake ones out there.
All right,
so,
anyway.
So, hey, Mick Malloy 66, what was yours?
Dangerous Dave Williams. Check that out. It's a really good account.
You have some bad news, Jane, you're bringing to the table.
I am, and...
disturbing, maybe is the word.
Please put any food you're eating...
Yeah.
Put it straight down.
And if you're going through a drive-thru, turn the radio off.
What?
Okay. Well, actually, if you drive through, you've probably got a better chance. Do you know that in these, I'm going to say McDonald's because it's been found in McDonald's stores. Mm. This is why it's so disappointing to me and my family.
Yeah.
They now have the technology for you. Instead of going up to the counter to make the order, they say it's much faster. Just tap the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Unfortunately, every single McDonald's self-service touchscreen tested in an investigation by a UK tabloid had traces of feces on it.
Ah, yeah. Great stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. This is a very serious situation.
Would you like feces with that? That's what they should start asking instead of fries.
They actually said the people who
would you like feces with that? Look out, here's our new character, the turd burger.
Okay. The London Metropolitan Microbiologist, Dr. Paul Mattawelli, said, we were actually all surprised how much was on it.
Oh, you'd want to be surprised, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want to just take that near step. Oh, yeah. So, we expected that.
Well, other big bacteria detected, get this, is also Listeria.
Oh.
So that can't be good. Now, I'm not just going to single out McDonald's because I'm getting any touch screen you touch getting a travel ticket.
Not the Colonel. That's supposed to be finger licking good.
Finger glove licking now. You have to wear gloves to do everything.
At least they give you those moist towelettes.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Please do not say the word moist and look at me ever again.
Oh, okay.
Panties. We've established that. I like to walk around in my big bag, my Mary Poppins bag with wipes. Because that's just the thing to do. And I understand now why I do it. We're in the office when we were talking about this. Some of the girls are saying, don't put your hands on the escalator rails. Worst case scenario.
Yeah, right.
Two of the girls don't do that.
What do you mean?
In the office.
Yes, I know.
They won't do that.
All right, so then I've got to find out, you know.
Apparently the remote control.
Oh.
Apparently the remote control in a hotel room.
Not to be touched.
Who was it? Wasn't there someone famous who used to go with
Lisa Renner from Housewives of Beverly Hills, which I admit it, I did watch. She goes in and just wipes door handles, light switches, of course, toilet seats, every handle
possible. Heard on a podcast once, we're talking about different things, and apparently in an aircraft, on the seat, an aircraft, you sit in a seat, it's full of germs.
Yes.
So the handles, the backrest, hideous.
Disturbing.
They reckon
even in business.
Well, I wouldn't know.
I'm going to have
but
to
apparently
take a canvas.
Wipe them all down.
Who was seen recently wiping down this?
I think it was Bronwyn Bishop.
Was it Bronwyn Bishop?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, because she was in economy.
Tell you what we might do.
Yeah.
We've just heard word that Eric Idle is in the house. Why don't we just get straight into it? We'll come back
with why not?
Eric Idle.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
Hello? Are you ready?
Yes.
Then we'll begin.
Calling Eric Idle funny
is akin to saying Australians sort of like beer.
Know what I mean? Know what I mean? Nudge, nudge.
Say no more.
This comedic legend brought us the number one funeral song in the world.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Despite some initial opposition.
Michael Palin wrote in his diary, Eric's written a song, but not a very good one.
From Python to the Ruttles and Spamalot, he's tickled a lot of people's funny bone.
Elvis used to do Python sketches in bed with his girlfriend, Linda Thompson, at night, including the Pepper Potts.
Oh, hello, dear!
Oh, if only there was footage.
But what's the secret to success?
I think it's intelligent man being stupid.
Making his first appearance on the Bruce and Bruce show on Bruce FM.
Oh, hello, Bruce.
How are you, Bruce?
Big crook, Bruce.
Please welcome Eric Idle.
Hello, Eric. How are you? Thanks for coming. And a very superficial overview of a magnificent career.
No, it's very nice. It made me laugh anyway.
That's right.
It feels like you've worked out a way to enjoy life.
Well, I hope so after all these years, you know. But keep living. It's probably the best thing. You know,
that's
I think
awesome.
I'm writing that down.
But I have to say, it's not the number one funeral song in the world.
Oh, okay.
It's only the UK.
Only the UK.
Yeah, I don't think Australia's not.
I think you'll find
many Australians.
But who knew
like
there
that?
Was a top 10?
Yes.
Here, bubbling under at number 18 is a new one. You know,
it's right. Well, we'll get you in to perform it live. Someone will ask you to do that one day.
Right.
I think it knocked off My Way, wasn't it? I think My Way was.
Off, and an Elvis one, and the one from the Titanic. You know,
Now, Elvis doing that is a hilarious idea. That's almost the highest accolade you can be paid that Elvis and his girlfriend in bed. Doing your
Linda
work.
Thompson, absolutely. I couldn't believe her. I made her tell me three times before I believed her. I really did. Because you don't see that it's the wider Elvis too. You know, it's not the
younger. It's the more mature one.
Lying in bed going,
hello, Mrs. C, how are you? I need a new brain.
No, that doesn't happen. Not in this planet, does it?
I see. It's been really fun, I think, for Mick and I, talking about, we've just gone, now how do we talk about you? But in the process of talking about interviewing you, we've reminisced and thought about so many
great moments, yes, and sketches you provided us over the years.
That's right.
Including I have to say, it's like my favourite film in the world, which is My Life of Brian, which to me is just one of the most extraordinary. I love all your films, but I think this is just, it defies description to me. It's a musical. It's historical. It's a comedy. It just has all these elements. And I read a book by a guy called Robert McKee who studies all these, and he usually puts films in categories, and this was the only one he could not. He goes, I don't know what to do with this film. It's an extraordinary thing with the best final scene of any film.
Which nearly didn't get up, though, is this true, if not for your great mate, George Harrison?
Yeah, no, George paid for it. I mean, EMI bought it, and then they read it. And Lou Gray said, no way we're doing this. No way. And we tried to raise money and people said, it was like selling Springtime for Hitler.
Yeah. it was picketed, wasn't it, when it came out, the film?
Well, we only got made because George mortgaged his house.
And why? Wow. And George, because he knew you guys so well, he just knew it would be good. Is that
he wanted to see the movie. I mean, he did. He's an extraordinary, you know, it was just the most anybody's paid for a cinema ticket ever.
Actually finance a whole film.
Can you imagine telling the wife you just mortgaged your house, put it on a Python film? Yeah.
When people make films, they don't often think what it's going to do at the box office. It's not the motivation to do something. What have you thought about how it's, you know, the success, craziness of it?
We wouldn't have made the Holy Grail, boy, not for the Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, Genesis,
really,
and another one. Yeah, they all put the money in, and they didn't want it back. It was only 10,000 each.
Yeah.
So, I love the Holy Grail. Can we play a little clip, if you don't mind? Are you okay listening to some of your own stuff back? Let's have a listen to Bring Out Your Dead. We've got to...
Bring out your dead!
Here's one.
Ninepence.
I'm not dead.
What?
Nothing. Here's your ninepence.
I'm not dead.
Here. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not.
He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
Oh, I can't take him like that. It's against regulations.
I don't want to go on the car.
Oh, don't be such a baby.
I can't take him. I feel fine.
Well, do us a favour.
I can't.
Well, can you hang around a couple of minutes? He won't be long.
No, I've got to go to Robinson's. They've lost 9 today.
Well, when's your next run?
Thursday.
You think I'll go for a walk?
You're not fooling anyone, you know. Look. Isn't there something you can do?
I feel happy! I feel happy!
Ah, thanks very much.
Touch all. See you on Thursday.
Right, all right. is that then?
I don't know. Must be a king. Why? He hasn't got shit all over him.
Now,
do you know that's the only ad lib in Python?
I was about to ask you the only. Now, this will surprise so many people because it looks like it's just mad and everyone's making it.
No, it's all carefully written. We're all writers. They're obsessive.
Let's have a listen to that line. Just we've got it, I think, dubbed off at the end there. No, Dave?
No, you made him
panic. Okay, I have. I made him panic. You do?
Who's that then?
I don't know. Must be a king. Why? He hasn't got shit all over him.
You're on the spot.
Still the definition of a king.
Still.
Isn't that, though, the secret, though, to comedy writing, and that if people think everything's off the cuff and how much you ad-lib,
Preparation, that's that. Yeah. But we were all writers, so that's why it was. It was hard for me to listen to that sketch and not be going into, I am not dead yet. Because, you know, we opened that here in Melbourne in 2007.
We love Spamalot.
Yeah. You love musicals too, I know, and you're so musical. There must be one in Brexit.
Surely you've got something. I did look at it. Here. I looked at it a couple of years ago and I thought, it's so f***ing boring. You know, who wants to listen to this? Who are the characters? They're so Doris Johnson. You know, they're all idiots, you know, and they're not very funny idiots.
Teresa's dancing. What do you make of that? What's she doing?
Right. Well, yeah. It's
we may have just broken the broadcasting law, but we won't worry about it. You get a special exemption.
Yes.
Look at this. Eric Idle, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, is a sort of biography. We're going to come back after the song.
We have to play a song. We don't want
to talk to you.
You're not allowed to go yet.
Okay,
fine. Just stay where you are.
You're under house arrest.
Eric Idle, our special guest.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
The legendary Eric Idle in studio. Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, a sort of biography. The book tour happening tomorrow in the Melbourne at the Athenaeum, 7:30 p.m. Great to have Eric in studio with us.
Get along. The book looks great. Why not Sir Eric Idle? I'm sure they would have asked you all the boys 100 times. You're royalty.
Who needs them? You know, Prince Charles asked me if I would be his jester.
But is that for real?
Said, is that why the hell would I want a f***ing awful job like that? And he laughed. Give him his due. He did laugh. Eric. It is the job of a jester to tell them they're nobody, isn't it?
That was a historical role in the court.
Well, you know, people say, why aren't we knights? Well, we are Sir Robin, Sir Galahad.
Exactly. You've already been there.
But hello, who needs them?
We just found out, talking to you, you've recently been back to Cambridge, and there is an honour that does mean something to you. Can you tell us what
that is? Yeah, my college, Pembroke College, made me an honorary fellow. And when you're a fellow of the college, you're allowed to dine there every night. Okay. So I'm never going to go hungry as long as I live in Cambridge.
And they do pretty
nicely. And you can
nicely,
walk on the grass.
Yes.
They're very nice to me. They're lovely. Yes. But, you know, I help them with a bit of fundraising. So, you know, they're
Well,
nice.
I think that's great. Yeah.
I got an honorary doctorate from Adelaide the other day.
Wow. Good Lord.
Yeah. So I'm looking for an honorary patient.
Well, good luck with that. Now, talk us through the book. What can we expect? Do you do a talking book version of this?
Yeah, it's audio.
Oh, that
it's
would
audio,
be fun. Yeah. That's you'd be jamming that on in the car.
It's nice for the car. I sing.
Full of anecdotes and ribald stories from your time with the guys. Is it? I'm guessing.
Yeah. No. It's a considered. But
yes.
I wanted it to be funny. Mm-hmm. But it's also quite moving because I know a lot of people who, you know, have passed away, and I wanted to talk about them and write about them.
Okay.
Also, your childhood and the schools you went to, it wasn't a terrific fun time.
No, it's a good start to have a really unhappy childhood. I think so. I think it means the rest of your life is like up.
Sad.
You know,
it really
is. And you've examined that theory in a lot of your sketches.
Why would you look on the bright side? What's to look
on?
Silver spoon in your mouth. What's to look on?
Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and get cracking.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned a lot of people you know where you're coming to that stage in your life where a few people have passed. I'm flicking through the pictures and I see a picture of you and David Bowie on the Island of Mystique.
Right.
How does that happen? I've been to Mystique. Jane hasn't. So we won't talk about everything that goes on there in front of her.
Okay. Wow. But, okay, fine. But I met him and I think Bobcat Goldthwait, the comedian.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because he loved to laugh. David loved to laugh. Yes. He laughed all day. And so he loved comedians and he searched them out.
Did he really?
And we were on holiday, I think, not on Mystique, but some other island, St. Bart's.
Yep.
And we were on holiday together and we'd just play these camp dresses every day. He goes, "Ooh, I love what you're wearing." Where did you get that? Oh, honestly, I've got three of those shirts. And we do that all day, and people say, shut up! Stop doing that, you two.
But he did. He liked to laugh. He was a really genuinely funny man.
Yes, indeed.
And obviously, he lets his guard down in front of you as well, which is great.
Sounds like a lot of your best ideas come from just piss farting around, basically. A bit of spare time on your hands, and I know that's what people like to think. But
no, I think it's quite hard. Actually, I think writing and preparing, certainly the Python way, was never improvising. We didn't improvise because it was a group of writers.
Yes, it says here on your one page: comedian, actor, voice actor, composer, musician, singer songwriter, writer. How do you see yourself? What do you put on your passport?
I put writer.
Right,
because it's hardest.
Yes.
And it's nothing happens without that. Mm. If you get the idea, you think, I'll do that.
And how did you know that you could act?
I can't act. I can't act. I'm a rotten actor. No, but
you had to perform your own material.
Yeah, which I love.
That's comedy acting. Yeah. That's not really acting. I can't make people cry.
You could act drama like that. You know you can. Yes.
I don't know.
Comedy acting is hard acting.
I think it is. But it's caricature acting. You know, you're only doing a sketch of the character. You're not giving any depth through it.
You know, I had a horse called He's Not the Messiah.
Did you really?
It's true. That was my horse. One in Melbourne. So I was trying to demonstrate how much I really love that film, which is fantastic. We're going to take a break. Could you stick around for one more? Do you have to be anywhere? Are you in a hurry?
No, we've got the thumbs up.
We've got the thumbs up from management. The book, Eric Idle, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, a sort of biography. It's in bookstores now. What a great Christmas present. That's my summer reading right there. Or listening, depending on which way I go. We'll be back after this song.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
Eric Idle in studio with us live right now on Kennedy Malloy. What a thrill.
There's nothing like a toe tapper when three guys are about to get crucified on the cross. It really is just what you'd expect at that time.
Did you have that song worked out by when you started making the movie?
No. We were stuck. We were writing the end, and we thought, what's going to happen? And they're all going to be crucified. So I said, well, let's make it a song. And they said, oh, that's a good idea.
The whistling and the whistling is just so perfect.
She said, it should be a cheery-uppy song about looking on the bright side. I said, oh, good. And I said, it should be like a Disney song, maybe with a whistle. And they said, oh, okay, that's good. That'll do. We'll go home now. And then I went home and wrote it.
I love the way it catches on with all the other guys who've been crucified as well.
Yeah,
it really
the
does.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs are a little
much,
off to where
it?
We go.
It is. Very Disney, isn't it?
It's such a great song. It's a great one to sing along to as well. Music's been such a strong part of the Python brand for so many years. That's obviously a strong suit of yours, and you just love getting the guitar. And I believe you get the guitar out in your show. You'll have it out at the Athenaeum tomorrow night in Melbourne. You want to get down for this.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a couple of things sorted?
I've got a couple of little new songs. I like fiddling around. I always travel with a little travel guitar.
Okay. Because
while you're waiting for the wife, it's something to fiddle with, if you know what I mean.
It is. So to speak. A euphemism.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I was chatting before, and it's every time we started chatting off here, I say, oh, sorry, I won't finish and I won't find out what your answer is. Let's share it on air. When I said, what are you doing next? And aren't you tired, or you still got things to do?
No, but we're making a movie of Spamalot.
Oh, that's fantastic! Yeah.
Oh, fantastic!
Wow, there
you go.
This should be nice. Wow. I mean, for 10th Century Fox.
gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, we're supposed to make it next year in London.
That's oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
And has the casting been?
At the moment, we're casting.
Really?
Which is interesting. Yeah, it is interesting.
Oh, I don't know if you know, I am
how long before she threw a hat in the ring? She's a great singer, great actor, great writer.
Well, I should be wrong for this then.
But we can't thank you enough for swinging by.
Yes.
It's been
my
a
pleasure.
Great thrill of ours, and you've been very generous with your time.
You
the book, Eric Idle, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. This is what it's all about,
and thank
people.
Thank you for inspiring us and our world of comedy and our background. Mm. And
you haven't, and
we'll look forward to seeing everything that comes in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Eric Idle.
Your new way to drive home. Malloy.
And what an absolute thrill. We just had Eric Idle. If you missed the chat, grab the podcast. Absolutely sensational.
It was a great chat. We were just saying, I'm quite exhausted because I got really nervous.
Yeah. We don't often get nervous when we chat to people. When we were sort of a bit...
I was a bit starstruck. Yeah. And you go,
we didn't want to upset him.
I watched his work since I was 16 years old and I didn't want to ask a dicky question. No. I didn't want to get the look. You know, I go, oh, God.
But he was delightful. Thank you, Eric Idle, for coming in and chatting with us today.
Incredible body of work. He's still funny. Isn't it great? I mean, I love seeing even our office... Who are all a bit jaded by famous people, but there's still a queue of about a dozen people waiting
to take photos and do all that.
Athenaeum in Melbourne tomorrow night.
7:30.
That will be a fun evening. Mm. A chat with Eric Idle.
Do you know those days of being starstruck? You know, in TV land, everyone's just a bit so cool for their boots, don't you think?
Yeah.
The audience, and they're a bit... Oh, and they're a bit cynical about people and...
Yes, they are.
I'm a bit over that. So I like seeing...
Well, you're clearly not a Instagram influencer.
Okay.
Which I am.
I'm not sure about that.
I've got 50,000 followers.
Congratulations.
Clicked over today. Thank you, everyone, for ensuring...
Nothing to write home
what
about.
Are you? So what are you?
Oh, all right, I just clicked under 30,000. I'm 20 behind you.
29 you are. 29.
No, it's clicked over... 2:30. Look, just while since I've been on air, look, 30,000.
Oh, look, I remember the 30s.
Listen, are you checking up on me?
Those days, they were all good.
I've actually
Dave,
got.
What are you doing?
What am I at? 1,900 and something. I've got another 17 followers just in the last 20 minutes.
You know why? Because I'm an influencer.
Thank you.
I will influence and dictate what people wear. People will be wearing pineapples for hats next week.
All right.
If I walk out the door with and put a pineapple on my head and take a photo of it,
you'll
post it. Everyone will be doing it.
Yeah, and then you'll be arrested.
Dave, you'll be wearing pantaloons next week.
All right.
Once my pantaloons series comes out,
you're not saying right. Hashtag pantaloons are back.
Hashtag. I don't hashtag anymore. It's not cool.
Good luck with that. Would you like to know how to become an influencer? Because
I've
got the Forbes list.
I wrote the book.
It's going to take you a long time to get on the Forbes list.
Dave, listen up.
I'm listening.
10 tips for success. I'm going to fly through them. Find your niche.
Done.
Okay. Who are you? What are your passions?
Ugly, lazy booze hound.
Okay. Do something unique.
Pass.
Pick your channels. Like, you can't possibly be successful on all channels.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah, stay in your lane.
That's good stuff.
Create a social media strategy. Don't just wing it like you normally do.
And stop showing off, Jane. All yours are taken like at breakfast in Paris with a really massive strawberry.
You know what I mean?
You
can't all be an influencer like me. Create great content, blah. Be consistent, blah. Promote, Fred. Collaborate. I don't think so. That's not your strong suit.
I believe they have actual, like, functions and things for influencers. Yeah, so only I could go.
Oh, okay.
Like, you guys wouldn't get in.
We don't mind. Don't worry. We don't want to go. Yeah,
laugh it up.
Got to be a flog.
Who are you following
stuff
at the moment? Who's the best person you're following at the moment? Who's the new one? El Chapo's daughter.
Yes.
Oh, that's really a good one. Get onto that.
She had a great Barbie party. I still like the dog ones that you put me on to.
Oh, yes. They are very good fun, aren't they, as they come around.
And There you go. Look at the data.
Brown Cardigan. Do you follow Brown Cardigan?
I don't follow Brown Cardigan.
It's hilarious. Mm. It's all Australian, but it's very wrong. Very
really?
Funny,
wrong?
Yeah,
why is it wrong?
Oh, it's just really silly videos and stuff. But
juvenile.
Very juvenile and quite ripe as well.
So. I'm getting a lot of spam, I must say, in my Insta. I'm just looking through my Insta feed.
What happened? I used to get no ads on Insta.
Much
now
spam.
I just get ads on Instagram.
You're an influencer. So, you can change that.
It's annoying me a lot.
Nah.
I think I'm jumping off.
Don't jump off at 50. Come on, man. You got to double that.
Thank you, everyone. Mick Molloy, 66. All right. Get on board. It's like a party. It's like a big party.
I don't think so. You know what? You're a bit of a lazy Instagrammer too. Come on. When's the last one you posted?
How dare you?
From
my brewery.
Oh, it's all a bit me.
Do you do Insta stories? Do you do those? Or
if he knows how to do that.
What's an Insta story?
Shut up and good luck with your career.
Yeah. Hey, you can follow us at Kennedy Molloy as well. Maybe you want to get onto that one. That's where our Instagram is.
Can I post a picture
here
of me with Eric Idle? Would that be
good? Do that. Yeah, do that.
All right, repost it.
Yeah, yeah.
And tag me. Not tag me. Put my name in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right.
This is Kennedy Molloy.
At Kennedy Molloy. That's where you find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as well.
Or Molloy 66. You could be one of 50,000 others who have made me a massive
influencer.
And
do I have to just sadly on the back of it go, and Jane
underscore colon.
Just look up Jane Kennedy and you'll see a big toothy picture of me. That's me.
That's how you know it's real.
Look it up.
It's not one of those
hey, you know what? It's the 29th today. Tomorrow's the 30th at the end of November.
Oh, well done, Einstein.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, now I've got a point.
What?
Dave, When are you starting?
I'm going to shave you.
No, you're not.
On the show tomorrow.
Tomorrow, it's the last day of your month.
I'll sue.
I'm going to shave you tomorrow on the show. And what I'm going to do,
I don't want to look at that.
I'm going to get my chamber pot out. I'm going to soap it up.
I'm not coming in.
I'm going to put some soapy water in it and a razor, and I'm going to shave you.
You're not coming anywhere near my face.
No, I wouldn't let him near you.
And I'll do your bikini one.
I'm going to Hawaii next week, so that might be a bad idea.
What a drunken purchase that was. Tomorrow, the 30th, happens to be a very special show for us.
It does.
One of our very last, possibly the last live. We're going to have a week of best ofs next week, which will be fantastic.
Sure,
we'll do Clown of the Year tomorrow. Mm. We'll be awarded. There's a few people dicing for pole position. If there's one, is it Donald Trump?
I think so.
I mean, he's pole position.
I think he wins it. He would win it every year, hands down. But he's really
gone. There's a
couple
of dark horses.
Yeah.
There are, but Donald never lets us down.
No.
This time he's just
said... His
latest boast is, as a young man, he looked like Elvis Presley.
People used to compare me to Elvis Presley.
He just said, wow. I know, that sounds like I'm, you know, boasting. Yes, you are. You're the one who said it. No one else did.
No.
Jimmy Fallon has picked up on this, and here's his tribute to Donald Trump as Elvis.
The warden threw a party in the county jail. Everyone in my administration started to wail. Indictments headed down to the whole West Wing. You should have heard my lawyer, Michael Cohen, sing, let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody with the White House job was dancing to the jailhouse rock. Robert Mueller said the Russians fixed my votes. Manafort was caught lying under oath. Rick Gates, Sam Patton, Michael Flynn. And don't forget George Papadopoulos, let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody with a White House job was dancing to the jailhouse rock. Manafort spoke to Julian Assange. Elvis' hair was black and mine's orange. I'm all shook up, the walls are closing in. I'm a hunk of burning love for Vladdy Putin. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody with a White House job was dancing to the jailhouse rock.
provided so comedians good. more material than any other man in the history of the world.
Yeah, that's made me very happy.
Takes the edge off who's been dangerous, I suppose. Hey, on tomorrow's program, Hamish Blake. Now, do you remember, he was our very first guest on our very first show.
This year, and it makes it a lot
come
of
in
sense.
Tomorrow and be our last, and maybe give us a bit of a review, let us know.
A review of our work.
There we go. He's done a little bit of radio, I think. Would he be an Instagram influencer?
Oh, yeah, both of them.
Yes, I think so, very much.
Yeah, they'd be huge. That'd have
would they be bigger than me?
Oh, they'd have more than you.
Shut up.
No, look at facts.
How many have you got now, Dave? Oh, Dave reckons he's trending on Instagram.
I am. I'm global right now. Well, let me see.
I'm global.
Do you want to look up what other people have?
1,928.
That's just sad.
That is sad. Just give up.
I'll tell you what, Hamish Blake also knows how to do Insta stories. That's something you have to learn over the holidays.
Okay. What about Jim?
That was a bit dismissive.
Yeah, I was distracted momentarily. Jim Jefferies.
Oh, okay. What's happening with Jim? Is he going to be on the phone? Is he?
Yeah, he will be. Okay, 108,000 for Hamish, by the way. I just found out with the
108,000.
Yeah, double yours.
It's okay. A lot of them are probably free.
Really?
Oh no, I beg your pardon. 898,000.
Yeah, I thought so.
898,000.
Hamish.
Yeah, but they're all fake.
Are they?
I think there's three of them are real.
Are they bots?
No, three of them are real.
They're not bots.
Jim Jefferies.
Jim Jefferies.
He's coming out. He's touring. He's traveling around the country. Generally
can we
funny.
Call him?
He's pretty ripe and not for everybody, but he's bloody funny bloke.
And he also is.
I think he's in Perth. We'll give him a bell.
He does big stadium shows too, I tell you what.
He's playing the tennis centre in Melbourne.
Yeah. Tucks them in.
Fairly big.
I say so. And he's on the telly in the US.
Get him to support me for my next tour.
What do you mean?
Take it off, you know, just be good for me.
Don't be silly. Don't just drop things when you're just at the end of the show, when you haven't thought things through, and you're just having a bit of a ramble.
Might regret it, you know.
just filling
in, oh, thank God.
All of a sudden, you're doing a stadium show.
Well, why not?
I think you should. I will support you.
I'll get all my Instagram followers. I could fill it.
I know you could.
I could fill it twice with my Instagram.
Twice? Okay.
Yes, it'll be a big Friday show tomorrow. We will see you there.
I remember the 30s, Jay.
Kennedy Malloy.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.